Go beyond the ashes. So we continue on our Lenten journey, each one of us, to go beyond the ashes, Ash Wednesday. Not just beyond the ashes or the normal routine that we can have, which is a good reflection of who we are. We are dust, and unto dust we shall become. But Jesus, even in his words of today, destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. We know that's the promise. So we go beyond the ashes. And at the heart of our theme this Lenten journey has just been that simple word, go. In the Old Testament, Moses was called to go to Egypt, bring them out of slavery. Go here, go up Mount Moriah. Go is all over Scripture. We had in the first week of Lent, go to the desert. The second, go up the mountain. And this week, go to the temple. Go to the temple. And the question sometime for each one of us, I had it in my heart at different moments in my life, is why? Why? What's relevant about it? Why do I need to go to the temple? I remember one of those priceless moments in my life when I had the grace to spend many years of my life was as chaplains at various level schools from pre-K to high school. But it was the high school moments that I really, really enjoyed high school because it was real searching. Above all, searching for identity. Where do I belong? Maybe finding their sports or in their activities or in their friend groups or whatever. It's a beautiful time to accompany, not to fix teenagers, you know, but to accompany, walk with them as Jesus did. And I remember once walking with this young man and we had a good enough relationship. I went to enough of his sporting events and everything, so he felt like he could just say what was on his heart. Going beyond just confession, but to really talk about the struggles of life. And so we're walking along and he kind of looked at me, you know, Father, I had a big old fight with my parents. I don't want to go to Mass. I'm so tired of Mass. I don't want to go. Just being honest, Father, I don't want to go to Mass. I said to him, why go? Why go? Now, sometimes you could think if you say a question like that from the heart to a priest, you're going to get a chop, right? You need to go. Keep the Sabbath. You know, you do need to. But no. Ask the question like Jesus. Why go? Right? Why go? And it kind of caught him off guard a little bit. So I just said, well, when was this fight? And he said, it was in the morning, you know, before going to Mass and all that stuff. I said, okay, let me just, you mind if I ask you a few questions? And he said, yeah. I said, well, what'd you do the night before? And he goes, oh, man, Father, I had 3 or 4 of my friends over. We stayed up all night long playing video games. Nothing wrong with video games. So I didn't say, oh, you shouldn't play video games. I said, really, what games did you play? Did you get the high score? How do you play it? Tell me how it works. So we just got all into the games and what was going on. And I said, so you stayed up all night. How'd you stay up all night? And like, man, we drank like literally, you know, a ton of Coca-Cola. We were putting the caffeine with because we had to get the high score. And I said, okay. So what is your idea of going to Mass? Because you're saying to me, why go? Why? Well, because it's a commandment. Because God commands me to go and I got to go. It's an obligation. I said, well, do you mind if I ask you something different? He said, sure. And I said, do you ever think about going to Mass to encounter best friend? Do you ever think about going to Mass to really drink of the living water and get that nourishment you need to go on for the rest of your week? And this young man who grew up in a beautiful Catholic family his whole life, who was asking, which is good, the questions, why go, instead of suffocating that, he said, you know what, Father? I never looked at it that way. Never looked at it that way. So go to the temple. Why? We go to the temple to worship. To worship the living God. And this Sunday, we go with Jesus. We go with Jesus like we have each Sunday. We go with Jesus this whole Lent. We go to the temple with Jesus to observe his encounters. But you know what? I just don't want to stop at John chapter 2. I hope you have your seatbelts buckled and are ready for an hour homily. I'm not going to do it. But I mean, just to turn over a little Bible study, a little key thing. But to understand Jesus, to understand
his, what's going on, we need to understand the fullness of Scripture, okay? So in John 2, he says, tear down this temple, destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. Who are you to say that? It took so many years to build this. And we know that he was speaking about his body. Let's fast forward in John's gospel to John chapter 4, which is something that's often read on this Sunday too. We chose this reading, but we know what John 4 is. John 4 is the encounter with the woman at the well. People ask me all the time, like, Father, how can you memorize Scripture and stuff like that? Well, when Father Mike and I were both in the seminary, our first year in the seminary, we spent about 2 hours a week total sitting at our desk, a half an hour at the time, memorizing the Gospel of John. The Gospel of the Beloved Disciple. That was a requirement of ours. And we had to go to our assistant and present how far we got. Father Mike is very bright. I'm sure he got to the end of the Gospel. I barely made it past 4. Because if you messed up, you had to go back. But just memorize, why not? And the thought was, what if you never have a book again? What if you, God forbid, you end up in prison and you don't have it, but you got the Scripture in your heart. Got it in your heart like the first disciples. So in John 4, there's this encounter with a woman. We all know she is a symbol of the church. The church fathers told us. She comes, the woman at the well, meaning Jesus in the heat of the day, in the shame, because that was the time that you came. And Jesus encounters her and asks her for a drink. She says, who are you, a Jew, asking me for a drink, to drink from my vessels, which no Jews do? You don't do that. You're confusing me. And Jesus says to her, if you knew who was asking you for a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you living water flowing up to eternal life. If you knew the gift of God, and what is the gift of God? The Holy Spirit. We worship in spirit, in truth. There will come a day, he says, when you will not worship on that mountain where the temple is, or on this mountain. You will worship, and people will worship in spirit and truth. And that hour is already here, and that hour is here for us. We come to worship in spirit and truth. In the Old Testament, Ezekiel 47, read it. Verses 1 through 12, it talks about water flowing out from the temple. And verse 12 closes with all the fruits of that water on the riverbank. Different fruits for healing. The water always prefigures the Holy Spirit. Old Testament, New Testament. Then we go forward, John chapter 2, John chapter 4, John chapter 7. The Feast of the Tabernacles. There he is. That was the feast of all the tents that they had on their journey. You remember when Jesus was symbolized as the rock that Moses struck? That they drank water from the rock. Water came forth from the water. Came forth to quench their thirst. There he is back in the temple. He's back in the temple. On the last day of that feast, he stands up and says, anyone who thirsts, come to me and I'll quench your thirst. And it's, haven't you read Scripture, he said, living water will flow from his side. And then on the cross, John 19, Jesus cried out, I thirst. He thirsted for the faith of the Samaritan woman at the well. He thirsted for the faith of the money changers and everybody in the temple. He thirsts for your faith, for my faith, that we may worship in spirit and in truth. And he wants my brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's why we go to the temple. He wants to quench our thirst. He wants to quench our thirst. Remember in the army, we'd have our canteens, and we couldn't find water, so we carried iodine tablets, little tablets to purify the water. But we go to the riverbank and you get the water. And I mean, in the mountains of Dahlonega, you found the best river. Obviously not downstream, upstream if you can. But it had the leaves and the muck and the nasty. And it was nasty looking water. And you drop those iodine tablets in there to purify it. And you drink it because you knew you were longing for something to drink. And then all of a sudden, someone come out with a fresh thing of water and you dump out that stuff. You'd empty that canteen to fill it with the good stuff. Jesus said, you don't take old wine and put in old, or new wine and put it into old wineskins. You take new wine and you put in new wineskins. By virtue of our baptism, we are those new wineskins. He wants to pour out his grace on us. He wants to fill us with all the good things. And in order to do that, we need to empty ourselves for him. Father Mike and I are offering 10 hours a week. And if we got to go double time, 20 hours a week, that's fine. To offer all of us an opportunity to empty ourselves. To empty ourselves of that Coca-Cola or whatever that may dehydrate us. To empty ourselves of that stuff that gets into our life that just doesn't fulfill us because we're thirsty. So we come and we ask for that forgiveness. We come to prepare our inner dwelling. We come to encounter our Lord that he may quench our thirst as we worship him. Like never before, let's go to the temple.